God blessed you with people who can sing. You know how many churches in America would cut off the preacher cut off his right arm if he had somebody, one person who could sing?
Yep.
Yeah.
You all are blessed.
Amen.
And you ought to thank the Lord for your church.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And I know you do, or you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You're here tonight because you love this place.
Right, man.
Just don't ever take it for granted. And don't ever think it's automatic. It's always going to be this way.
Right.
But for tonight, enjoy church.
Amen.
You can endure it, or you can enjoy it.
Yes.
I'd recommend that you enjoy it.
Amen.
Now, I've got about five messages I want to preach tonight.
Preach them.
Y'all think I'm kidding. But I do want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 5 tonight, Lord willing. I have tried my best to get off of this all day, and I can't. So, I must have to mind the Lord, I reckon.
Amen.
And we're going to be in chapter 5 tonight. Last night, I tried my best to preach to you about the great sin in the church.
Right.
And the sin of grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And he said, we're not grieving the Holy Spirit, whereby we're sealed under the day of redemption.
Yes, sir.
It's the Holy Spirit that makes all that God did for us permanent.
Right.
And he preserves it. It's his presence in your life that guarantees your salvation.
Yes, sir.
And we're not to grieve him. He lives in us. He's in you tonight if you're saved. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Amen.
He's inside of you right now.
Amen.
And the life of God is in you tonight if you're saved.
Yes.
You're going to get excited about that. You're
tell it,
that
preacher.
Down to a moderate level. But the life of God is in you if you're saved.
Tell it.
And we're not to walk around as if the Lord is nowhere near us. And not to treat the Holy Spirit as if he is not present. He's always present. He's that silent observer in everything you do. He's that silent listener to everything that you say. And he's in your heart to hear things that never even come out, but they're there.
Yes.
And we're not to grieve him. We're not to be unforgiving to one another.
Right.
And forgiveness seems to me like it's a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People have the idea that since I'm forgiven, I'm the only one that needs to be forgiven, and you don't need it, so we need to kill you. We need to forgive you.
Tell it now.
We need to kill you.
Yeah.
All that grieves the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And tonight I want to talk to you, if the Lord will help me, about the big failure in the average Christian's life.
Mm.
And we're going to be in chapter 5 of Ephesians. And would it be all right if I read the scripture tonight?
Yes, sir.
Tonight, there's only 33 verses in this chapter.
Amen.
Surely it ain't sin to read the Bible in church.
No, sir.
Amen.
Surely you wouldn't get mad at the preacher for reading the Bible in church. And surely you wouldn't mind getting your Bible and reading along with us. Something I've discovered in my life is if the preacher is reading a text and I'm reading along with him, I'll see something while he's reading the text I never saw before in my life.
Yeah. Yep.
And so you might see something I'm not even going to mention tonight if you'll just get the Bible and read along with me. And by the way, we're going to be reading the Bible.
Amen.
I didn't write any of this. I'm just reading it. Okay? So here we are. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 1. Be ye therefore. Now, anytime you see a therefore in your Bible, you need to make sure you know what it's there for.
Right.
And that therefore takes you back to what we looked at last night about not grieving the Holy Spirit and being kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, because
right.
of the great measure of the grace of God that you have received.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because of the great measure of the grace of God that you have received.
Right.
Because of the enormity of the goodness of God that has been shown to you.
Right.
For the magnitude of the mercy of God that has been revealed in your life.
Yes.
In saving you and forgiving you. and washing you, and cleansing you, and not just doing it today, but yesterday, today, and forever. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is continually cleansing us. And there's always an intercessor in heaven making intercessions for us. The Lord Jesus is our advocate. He is interceding for us, pleading our blood, or His blood over our sin.
Right.
The Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Yes, sir.
Brother Joshua prayed a while ago and said he didn't know what to pray. He's exactly right. We don't know what we should ask for as we ought.
Yep.
But there's somebody tonight that is taking our effort in prayer and translating it in some kind of way
that is
acceptable in the throne of God. William Gurnall said that prayer is when you offer up your petition in Jesus' name.
Yep.
And He takes your position, your petition, and rewrites it in His own hand.
Well,
and presents it to the Father as if it was His own request.
Amen.
So we are tremendously blessed.
Yes.
Is anybody aware, remotely aware, of how great a thing it is for you to be sitting in Stillwater's Baptist Church?
Amen.
Did you know nature had to get kicked out of the way and grace had to come in and do a work in your life for you to be here?
That's right.
Had nature had its way, you would be lost out there in a ballroom somewhere. You'd be in a ditch with a dope
preacher.
You'd be in a divorce court somewhere or the other. You'd be five states away from your family. But grace knocked nature out of the way. And grace said, I'm going to take you from here on out. Grace has come in, and grace has abounded much more where sin abounded. Grace did much more about it.
Amen.
Therefore,
yeah.
Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Be followers of God as dear children. Did you know we're supposed to be followers of God?
Yep.
And not the world.
That's right.
It says, follow the Lord as dear children.
Right.
Have y'all had children?
Yep.
Have y'all ever been around children?
Yep.
Have y'all what a child is? Okay. Again, y'all ain't gotten to respond. Just make my preaching a lot better. Have y'all ever noticed that there's some youngins you like to be around?
Yeah.
There's some that they just have, I don't know what they got. But they can smile, and it just melts your heart.
Yep.
And they do little things that just, look at there, ain't that cute? And then there's some kids, they walk in the room, and immediately you want to strangle them. Whenever they say something that has a nasally twang to it that is obnoxious. And when they want something, they whine, and you just want to slap them instead.
Yes. Cry.
They ask for a cookie, and you want to choke them or something.
Yeah.
You just want to be around them. They're obnoxious. They'll kick you in the chin, run off. And we're supposed to follow the Lord as dear children.
Yeah.
As one of those children that He likes to be around.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
He likes to be around you.
Yeah.
If you're a dear child.
Good.
If you're full of the bitterness and the unforgiveness.
Come on, preacher.
He's not really pleased about being around you.
Well.
But when you're doing right.
Right.
And you're doing what He tells you to do. And you're obeying Him with a good attitude.
Right.
And a good spirit.
Yeah.
And a smile. And submission.
Right.
And surrender.
Yeah.
And a sacrifice.
Sail.
The Lord loves to be around.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Somebody ought to just haul off and embarrass the person sitting next to you and holler hoo-wee that God would want to hang around you.
Yeah.
Just for 5 minutes. Hey, he just hung around us for 5 minutes.
Hey,
just shout a little bit.
Right.
He spent time with me.
Hey.
He talked to me. He had something to say to me. He reached out His hand to me.
Yes.
He touched me.
Yeah.
He gave me.
Yeah.
He told me.
Yeah.
He promised me.
Yeah.
supposed to be with
him. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And he wants you to be a dear child.
Amen.
And walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
Right.
What God, what Christ did for us in offering himself up totally as a sacrifice is a correlation to the Old Testament, where that burnt offering was to be offered up and the smoke of that was to go out as a savor. It was almost like a sweet fragrance to God. Now, to me, that is a strange combination.
Yeah.
Burning flesh does not smell good to me.
Nope.
Now, when you got a hog on a barbecue pit, you ain't burning it.
Right.
You're cooking it.
Yeah.
Right.
And that smells good.
Yep.
What is wrong with y'all? I can understand about amen and the other stuff, but you mean to tell me pork
good
on the barbecue pit does not smell good to you?
Hey, man.
Shame on me. Lord, have mercy. I thought that'd be one amen I'd get tonight. Well, don't y'all like eat barbecue?
Amen.
How many of y'all have convictions against barbecue? Nobody? Anybody love to eat barbecue?
Yeah.
Tastes good?
Yeah.
That meat ain't burnt.
That's right. Good.
But the burnt offering, it was charred, it was cremated, and burnt flesh stinks.
Yes, it does.
But when God saw that offering,
right,
that smoke that went up,
right,
was a sweet smelling savor in his nostrils. That pleased God.
Right.
And when Jesus was hanging on the cross,
yes,
it pleased God to bruise him.
Amen.
I don't understand that.
No,
that's some theology that's deeper than I can get to, but it pleased God to bruise him.
Right.
Yeah.
It pleased God to kill him.
Right.
It was our Father in heaven who signed his death warrant.
Right.
Yep.
It was the Father's will for him to die.
Yep.
It was his joy before the foundation of the world to come into this world and obey the will of his Father.
Yep.
And when he died as my sacrifice, giving up everything that he had to God, that was a sweet-smelling savor to see him writhing in pain and agony that is indescribable, having every demon and devil in the world attack him, even God himself poured out his wrath on his Son, and that pleased him.
Yes, sir. It's amazing.
That is an amazing,
it's amazing,
to me, an amazing thought.
It's amazing, yep.
We're supposed to follow as dear children and walk in love. That's the love that God had for us.
Right.
And that's the kind of love we're supposed to have for one another.
Amen.
Now, look at verse 3. But fornication and all, Paul likes that word all.
Yes, sir.
Fornication and all uncleanness, that's speaking about moral impurities. Or covetousness, that's when you have that intense desire for things that are not yours to have.
Right.
Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Neither filthiness, that speaks about obscenities,
right,
nor foolish talking. Foolish talking literally means a moron with words. How many of y'all know morons with words?
Yeah.
Yep.
You probably work with one. Some of you might be married to one. Okay, I'm having a good time. Nor jesting. That means vulgarities. Which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Instead, now what he's saying is, instead of telling dirty jokes, you ought to be giving thanks.
Right.
For this, you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Amen. Anybody read that with me?
Yep.
Anybody believe the Bible?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it says, man.
Yep.
Right. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Anybody believe that?
Yes, sir.
The wrath of God is going to come on the children of disobedience.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And if it's in the children of disobedience, what's going to happen if it shows up in the house of God?
Yeah.
Judgment begins in the house of God.
That's right.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where is the sinner and ungodly?
That's exactly right.
That doesn't mean that you've got to just barely get saved, barely going to make it in heaven. It simply means that if a righteous man is going to be judged as severely as God judges a righteous man, what's going to happen to the sinner?
That's exactly right.
The Lord and judge.
Exactly right.
Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Don't join them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light
right
in the Lord.
Yeah.
Walk as children of light. Apparently somebody found the light switch.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Walk as children of light. Don't stumble around in the dark. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Right.
The fruit of the Spirit proves what's acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Right.
But rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For what doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools,
right,
but as wise. That word circumspectly is the word we get our word acrobat from.
Yep.
An acrobat has to be very careful where he puts his feet.
That's right.
If you don't land right, he's going to get hurt or hurt somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Walk circumspectly. If you don't walk right, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
If you don't walk right, you'll hurt those around you.
Yes, sir.
If you don't walk right, you'll hurt yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't walk right, you'll hurt everybody around
you. That's exactly right.
You will be dangerous to the people around you if you're not walking right.
Yeah.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Well,
and be not drunk with wine, whereas in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yep.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
That's right.
Now here's a verse that most people say is not in the Bible. A lot of folks have told me that God don't say this, but he does. Here's what he says. Giving thanks for all things.
Tell it.
Yeah.
For.
Giving thanks for all things.
Amen.
Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Here's another verse nobody's ever read. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Yes, sir.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Yep.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish.
Yes.
Did you notice that? That he might present it to himself.
Himself, yep.
He's going to present it to himself.
Yep.
Amen. And we are supposed to be able to present our bride.
Right.
Yeah.
With as much joy as Jesus is going to present his bride to himself.
Right? Yep.
So all men to love the wives of his own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, they shall be joined in his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Yep.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Well, that's quite a chapter, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's good.
There's a lot of ground in that we will not cover tonight. What I want you to notice tonight is what I believe to be the great failure in the life of the average Christian. It's a very familiar verse. It's verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Mm.
Now, if the sin of the church is acting as if there is no Holy Spirit,
right,
then the great failure of the Christian in the church is to not avail himself,
yep,
of everything that the Spirit of God has made available to him.
Right.
And to live his or her life beneath the privileges that they have as a child of God.
Well,
did you know God has given you everything that you're ever going to need through the agency of the Holy Spirit?
Yep.
We are having seminars and we're having conferences about everything across the country. And nobody seems to be getting the help that they need.
No, sir.
Right.
All of our spiritual blessings are in Christ.
Yes.
Don't be surprised when you come up empty if you went everywhere else trying to find your blessings.
Yep.
If you didn't find them in Christ.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get it in Christ, you probably didn't get what you need.
That's right.
And what Christ has for you, he has sent the Holy Spirit to us to bring to us what he wants us to have as his bride.
Right.
He uses the analogy between a husband and a wife in that chapter, not to beat you husbands over the head.
Right.
Yeah.
And not to beat you wives over the head.
Amen. Yeah,
but he's using that as an illustration of how the husband takes care of his wife and how the wife surrenders and submits to her husband. That's a beautiful picture of what Christ does for us.
Yes. Amen.
To satisfy us and to nurture us.
Yes.
And to provide for us.
Yeah.
And to love us.
Yeah.
And to care for us.
Yeah.
And to love us as he loves himself.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
No man ever, ever messed up his own flesh, never hurt his own flesh. We are bone of his bone and flesh,
yep,
of his flesh.
Yep.
I have received him into my heart.
Right.
I am in him. He is in me.
That's right.
That's a wonderful place to be.
Yes.
And he desires to bring to me everything that I'm ever going to need to make it through life.
Yeah.
And he does that through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And he says, you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Did you know if there's anything that is involved in the Christian life that is misunderstood and misinterpreted and misapplied and ignored and written off, it's that verse.
Yep.
Be filled with the Spirit.
Yep.
Most of you right now are probably scared half to death, but I'm fixed to tell you something that you're going to have to do that's going to make you act silly or stupid. You can talk about being filled with the Spirit, and immediately you think about me and Brother Josh when we're crazy preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I got to act like that?
Nope.
No.
I do some crazy things when I'm preaching.
Yep, I do.
Turn the lights off on me. Do all kind of crazy stuff. And I hoop and I holler, and the jugular vein sticks out on both sides of my neck sometimes. Kids always ask me, little kids, when I get home and get in church, why is Brother Mike so mad? I ain't mad.
Right.
I just look that way. And right. I act stupid. I talk that. That's not being filled with the Spirit.
Nope.
Right. Shouting is not the same thing as being filled with the Spirit.
Nope.
You know, you can grab a hog by the leg and you'll squeal.
Yeah.
That don't mean you're shouting.
That's right.
And I know a bunch of people that are not even saved that shout.
Amen.
I know people who shout just to be seen. They like the sound of their own voice, and they like to imitate what somebody else is doing.
Yes.
Amen. Did you know a real shout is the most expensive thing on the planet?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It will cost you.
Yeah.
A
whole lot of pain and misery to come to church and shout.
Yes.
Job sat in the ash pile and raised up both hands with boils all over his body and said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Amen.
He's out in the ash pile raising up both hands, giving God glory, and ain't nobody in the world understands it.
Yep.
Shouting is a wonderful thing if it's the right thing.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Not being filled with the Spirit. You can shout without the Spirit being around.
That's right.
I dropped something on my toe and shout. That don't mean it's in the Spirit.
That's right.
Being filled with the Spirit has nothing to do with speaking in tongues.
No, sir. No, sir.
Not a thing in the world to do with it.
Nope.
Being filled with the Spirit just simply means God comes and brings what He has for you and fills you with what He has for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Now let me ask you a question. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that proposition? Christ wants to come to you and fill you with everything that He has for you.
Mm.
That's good.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace,
yeah,
and long-suffering, and temperance, and meekness, and kindness, and some more stuff.
Yep.
What is wrong with being filled with the love of God?
Tell it.
Now, apparently, y'all do have convictions against being filled with joy.
I think so.
What's wrong with being filled with the joy of the Lord?
Nothing.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me living water. And I thirst no more. Is this a new song? He gives me living water. And I thirst no more. He gives me living water. And I thirst no more. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He fills my mouth with laughter. Ah, ha, 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 ha. He fills my mouth with laughter.
I like it.
Ah, ha, ha. Ha, ha, he fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, everybody can say this one. Ah, ha, 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 ha.
Nope, but I like it.
You know, you can do multilingual.
It's a new vacation Bible school song. Yeah.
That last verse sounds the same in Chinese as the day. Yeah. What's wrong with being filled with the joy of the Lord?
Nothing.
What's wrong with being filled with the peace of God? When everything around you is going nuts and you ain't. What's wrong with that? I read where John and Charles Wesley were coming to Savannah, Georgia to be missionaries to the American Indians, and neither one of them were saved. They were both preachers in the Anglican church, and neither one of them was saved. And on that boat, there came a storm, and the boat was about to sink. There's a bunch of Moravians on that boat. And the Moravians are over there quietly sitting in the corner singing hymns and praising God. John and Charles Wesley was helping them pump the water out of the boat. And old John Wesley came up to the Moravian elder and said, "What is wrong with you people? This boat is going down and you're all sitting over here singing hymns." And the old Moravian elder simply said, "Well, brother, don't you know if this boat goes down, we're all going up? Do you not believe, my brother?" John and Charles West are going nuts while the boat's going down. The Moravians are shouting that it does go down and they're going up. That's why we're having the peace of God that passes all understanding. Can nobody figure out why you got the peace that you got? Why do you come on a Tuesday night? You've been working hard all day. You could be at the house snoring by now. You'd be on your third box of popcorn by now, watching the reruns of whatever it is you want to watch. On your third jug of tea. And you'd be having a good time in your church. What makes all that stuff worthwhile?
Yeah.
There's something that lives in you.
Yeah.
Amen. You're somebody just venture a risk of saying amen, something the preacher said. There's something in you.
Amen.
There's something in you.
Amen.
That you can't describe and explain. It gives you peace.
Yes, sir.
More peace about being here than you have being there.
That's right.
What's wrong to be and feel in the spirit? Ain't nothing wrong with
you. No, sir.
It's the greatest life you'll ever know.
Yes, sir.
It's to be spirit filled.
Yes, sir.
Let God come into your life in every situation and in every relationship and make it what He wants it to be.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's a great life, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
Now, why is He talking about all this stuff? Well, number one, you cannot be what you're supposed to be without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And you can't do what you're supposed to do without the Holy Spirit. But you look at the first thing He mentions, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now here's the will of God. A lot of folks worried about the will of God, and here it is. Y'all ready?
Yep.
Get your pen out, write this down. This is profound. Here's the will of God for your life. Number one, don't get drunk.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
You know what the will of God is for your life? Don't get drunk.
Amen.
Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess.
Right.
Wine will take you somewhere where you don't need to go.
Yes, sir.
Wine will mess up everything in your life. Wine will mess up every relationship you get in.
Yes,
wine,
sir,
will mess up your mind.
Right.
Wine, yes, will mess up your marriage. Wine will mess up your friendships.
Yes.
Wine will destroy your health. Wine will take away your family. It'll take away your future.
Amen.
It'll make you see things that ain't there. Make you hear things,
yep,
that aren't being said. It will destroy you. Don't get drunk with wine.
Amen.
But the world goes to wine for everything.
Tell it, preacher.
Every time the world is having a get together, they got to have some wine there.
Tell it, preacher.
Make it worthwhile.
Oh, yeah.
Every time the world has a problem, they go to the bottle.
Yeah, preacher.
Every time they need to get away or get alone, they won't take a bottle with them. They got to have that bottle all the time, and they get what they need. It's an artificial joy.
Yes, that's right.
It's a fake joy. It's a temporary joy. It's
that's
a cheat.
Right.
It's a thief. It's a robber. And that's where the world goes to get their entertainment and to somehow get over their problems and to get through all the stuff that comes to them in life. Don't go to the wine bottle. Go to the Spirit of God.
Right.
Don't get full of hooch. Get full of the Spirit of God.
Hey, man.
And when you have a problem, you'll have a resource inside of you that's bubbling up like a river.
Yes.
Jesus said that if anybody's thirsty, let him come and drink, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. This spake he of the Spirit.
That's right.
Glory be to God. He has put a river inside of you.
Yep.
It's more than a bottle.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
The bottle runs out.
That's right.
You can get all out of there is all that there is out of the bottle, but you can't get to the bottom of that river that God put in your heart. You can't exhaust the Spirit of God. You can't outlast him. You can't outrun him. You can't outthink him. You can't outswim him. He's always going to be there. Bubbling up.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And you're going to need that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to start speaking to yourself.
Yes, sir.
You know, we have a habit of wanting to go to somebody when we have a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on. Anybody ever had a problem?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to meet y'all. How do I make that happen? When we have a problem, we want to go to somebody.
Yep.
And it's good to have somebody to go to with you.
Sure.
Y'all got a friend that you go to with that problem?
Sure do.
Have you ever noticed that every now and then that friend can't keep his mouth shut?
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that problem when your friend tells something that you told him it's supposed to be in confidence?
Yep.
That friend will let you down?
Yes, sir.
Did you know God wants to fill you with His Spirit so that you can speak to yourself?
Yeah.
When you're having those problems,
Amen.
You speak to yourself.
Right.
That's supposed to be a blessing.
Yes.
You can speak to yourself. When things go crazy on the job, you can speak to yourself.
Yes.
Has it ever went bad on the job? Have you ever been working and the people around you seem like they're working harder to destroy what you're doing than they want to build it up?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you want to fire all of them and run them all off or something? Yeah. He wants to fill you with the Spirit so you can speak to yourself.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with you talking to yourself.
Man.
Just don't start answering yourself. Talk to yourself in Psalms. One of the best things you'll ever do is go through the Psalms and pick out things that you can pray.
Yeah.
The Psalms are full of David's prayers.
Amen.
You can pick out something in those prayers that you can pray in your life.
Yes, sir.
When things go crazy. Something I pray all the time is in Psalm 19, I think, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight.
Mm-hmm.
I think Psalm 119, I think it's verse 105, remember thy word which is called thy servant. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart.
Right.
And renew a right spirit within me. Speak to yourself. You have everything to do that unless you're filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Speaking in Psalms and hymns.
Yeah.
A hymn is a spiritual song that has been set to rhyme and meter and music.
Yes, sir.
It's a hymn and a spiritual song. You know the reason why the pastor has you to sing these songs? And has people to sing these special songs, other than just a joy to hear. But when you leave out of here and you go home, you're not going to have the piano player and the musician with you. You might have a CD, but you're not going to have this. You might have your CD, but you have to learn what it's like to speak to yourself and sing to yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
If things ain't going right.
Yep.
God wants to fill you with His Spirit so you can go home tonight and start talking to yourself.
Yeah.
Out of the Bible. And you're rehearsing to yourself.
Yes, sir.
What the Bible says when you're having your meeting.
Yes, sir.
And when you have to sing. Well, it's getting time to go. Okay. I'm going to try to close with this. I'm going to give you a guarantee. We'll give you an example. But not. Let me back up. Let me make a long story longer. I was not raised as a Baptist.
Right.
And I got saved in another outfit. They're similar to Nazarenes. They were Wesleyan Holiness, but I was not the name of the church. It was a Congregational Methodist church. Mm. And they were a lot like Primitive Baptists. They were backwards. They didn't believe that the preacher had any education. Mm. And you had to live right, be perfect, go to heaven. If you won sin, you lost it, you got to get saved all over again. You come to the altar and you'd be praying through. That's what we call praying through. And there'd be a big old woman on one side slapping you on the head saying, "Turn loose, brother." Mm. Another equally large lady on the other side slapped me on the head and said, "Let go, brother. Turn loose. Let go." That was confused. That was funny now, y'all.
That was funny.
As I grew up, I got saved in that church, believe it or not. One of my cousins was a Baptist. And he was talked to him one day. He said, "The Bible says if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That's how you get saved. All that holding on, hanging on stuff, that ain't how you get saved. Just call on the Lord." Well, I got a deep conviction, and that's all I knew to do. And I called on the Lord and asked him to save me. You know what he did? He just hauled off and saved me.
That's right.
Well,
that's good.
Amen.
That's good.
And God called me to preach in that outfit. I pastored a church in that outfit when I was 18 years old. A miracle. And somebody took me here, Lester Roloff and Peter Ruckman.
Yeah.
What a combination.
Yeah.
And I never heard anybody, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor in a church. I've never heard anybody preach on Ephesians 2, 8, 9. But Lester Roloff preached for an hour that night on Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Ding, the light came on in my soul.
Well.
And I realized I was in the wrong outfit. And all of my family was in that church on both sides, far back as I can count. And when I announced my call to preach for that bunch, it was automatically assumed I was going to take the mantle from my great-grandpa to my grandpa to me. And I realized I couldn't stay with them. And long story, anyway, I was going to join the church I'm pastoring now, believe it or not. In 1974, I was 22 years old. I was going to join the Baptist church. And my poor mama, bless her heart, she said, "You can't join that church." I said, "Mama, you can't stop me." She said, "I had marked." I may have told this before, I don't remember doing it. If I did, you act like it won't hurt. Anyway, Mama followed me to church that night. And we sat right in front of the preacher's wife. And all through the message that night, my mama kept trying to correct the preacher. Mm. And my mama learned how to whisper in a sawmill.
Yeah.
That's funny too, by the way.
Yeah.
She had a loud voice. Everything he said, "That ain't right.
Well.
Ain't in the Bible. You got that in the funny book." So finally, he gave the invitation. First note of "Just As I Am," I started at Mama grabbed me by the arm. She hollered, "Don't do it!" I drug her down the aisle hollering, "Don't do it! Don't do it! If you got to join a Baptist church, join a good one. Don't join this thing."
Wow.
Anyway, that was a mess. Well, I got into Baptist church and they run the preacher off. Here I am with nobody, don't know nobody, don't have any friends. I left all my friends, left all my family. My family got mad. My mama stayed mad at me till the day she died. She never forgave me for that. So here I am. What in the world am I going to do? And I heard there's opening up Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville. I said, I'll go there.
Yep.
I had to get rid of every material thing I owned except my clothes to go to school. I got me an old 1967 Ford Falcon that the owner lived at Ormond Beach. All that salt water had rusted the thing out. There was a hole in the floorboard. There was a hole in the roof. The heater didn't work. There was no defroster, there was no air conditioning in it. And that's what I had to drive 45 miles on the way to go to school. And it would be so cold back then, it got cold in Florida. And it was down in the teens. And it was so cold, I'd have to stop and scrape the ice off the windshield every now and then to see where I was going. And at night, when nobody could see me, I was so cold, I got me a grocery bag and made me a hat out of the grocery bag and put it on my head. And I'd be driving down the road to keep my ears from falling off. I'd borrow a blanket or a quilt and wrap up in that blanket and quilt and go to school and go home, go to church and come home. And my family attacked me. And I didn't think I had a friend in the world. And I'd be driving along wondering what in the world am I going to do. And all of a sudden the Lord would speak to me and said, "Son, we need to save." I said, "Lord, I can't sing." He said, "I know you can't. That's what you use. I know you sing anyway. You want to give me the sing?" I'll never forget it. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And how firm.
Foundation. What about that?
I sung that two songs.
Hallelujah.
For 50 miles. Me and the Lord. And he rusted out in 1967 back. How firm a foundation.
Tell it, preacher.
You saints of the Lord. Laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you for refuge to Jesus. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee and help thee and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. God wants to fill you with his spirit because sometimes the only way you're going to make it through what you get through is with the scripture and with a song.
Yep. That's right.
There won't be another person in the world but you and God. And what you'll discover, you'll be enough.
Yeah.
There ought to be about 10 people on the feet right now, hooping and hollering, telling me that you've discovered that he is enough.
He sure is.
Amen.
Have you discovered him to be enough?
He sure is.
Yes.
You will when he fills you.
Hey, man.
Make you feel good. Get over that idea.
Yep.
You don't get filled with the Spirit so you feel good.
Nope.
You get filled with the Spirit so you live good.
Yeah, man.
And you love him, but it seems like you ought not to.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Wow. Well, can I close with the other message I wanted to preach? I'm just going to read this verse to you. You're going to turn and just listen to it. 1 Chronicles 29. David's getting ready to die. He's got Solomon on the throne with him. David looks at the congregation. David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God.
Yes, sir.
And all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers and bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the King.
Mm.
Now bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I just told you some of the best news you're ever going to hear. I just gave you some of the greatest truth you're ever going to hear in your life. It ain't my truth. I just gave you God's truth.
Yeah.
Now, bless the Lord.
Heaven.
Yes.
What would it be tonight if all this congregation bowed and blessed the Lord?
Yes, sir.
What if we closed the service tonight by just bowing and blessing God for all that He has piled up in our life, for all of His eternal investment in your never dying soul?
Amen.
All that He's done to make sure a million years from now you won't be roasting in the fires of hell.
Yes.
All that He's done to keep your family together.
Yes.
All that He's done to give you a family, give you children to call you mama and daddy. All that He's done to put you in a good Bible preaching church.
Yes.
You could be at the Kingdom Hall tonight.
Yes.
You could be at the Mormon Temple tonight. You could be the tongues talking snake headed.
Tell it, preacher.
But you found yourself in an old-fashioned Bible believing Bible preaching Baptist church with a good godly man as your pastor. Now bless the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Chris, I want you to come if you would. Miss Leah, I want you to come get something ready.
Too many times, folks, just like he started off saying tonight, too many times we take what we got for granted.
Right.
And I ain't just talking about the church. I'm talking about what we got on the inside. Do you know it's a miracle that you know that the King James Bible is the Word of God?
Yes.
In 2023, do you know that's a miracle?
Yes.
It is a blame miracle that you know there's only one Bible.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you know it's a miracle? Not only do you know that, but you read it.
Amen.
And you listen to it, and you got, if you're like me, you've got about 35 or 40 copies of it.
Amen.
That's a miracle.
Yeah.
Miracle.
Yes,
we take it for granted, but it's a miracle.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing that you found yourself in a place where they're still singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord? Teaching ourselves, admonishing one another. That's a miracle. All these things God has given us. We haven't earned any of it. I hope you know that. God has gifted everything we've got. Brother Caleb, from the pulpit to the pew, we've all been up to the walking in. Bless him if you can. I'm ready to get out. You got so much to thank you for.
Yeah.
Everything you need was already inside of you. You flip that switch and the lights come on, then you can walk in the light.
Amen.
That's being spirit filled. Be not drunk with wine where it exists, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Everything about some of y'all has been altered.
Yep.
That'll hit you about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Yep.
You get good and drunk.
Amen.
You don't talk the same.
Yep.
No.
Right.
Scared people get brave and brave people get scared.
Yep.
Angry people get soft and soft people get angry.
Right.
Everything about them changes. They are under the influence. Something is making them to be someone they did not even know they could be. Why is Caleb Rose a God called preacher? I'm about to get happy. Why is Shelby Hampton saved and a God called preacher? The man who would look at his children and tell them, you don't need God, you need your daddy. Something's changed, boy.
Amen.
Jasmine, how in God's green earth did you land here out of all the places you could have landed from California? God has put you here.
Amen. He sure has.
All y'all got to do is look around. It don't take a whole lot of looking to start to see it.
Right. Amen.
What all God has done. The man who was preaching, 16 years old, you've heard my testimony, preached 10 minutes on hell, a 16-year-old preacher. He's not here tonight, but his wife and his family is. Now, how'd that happen? How in the world did that turn full circle?
Amen.
The young boy that God used to pull me out of hell, now his children sit under the sound of my voice. And they could go anywhere, and if y'all left tomorrow, I probably wouldn't blame you. But I thank you. I thank you. So much. You couldn't make your mind up, you come or go. But what if you had just stayed that way? Where you reckon she'd be crying alligator tears and wanting to find dresses and testifying and singing and hugging people and telling them they love them over? You reckon that'd happen? Hey, by the way, I was glad she figured out whether she was coming, going, leaving, staying, she'd come back. But Mike, she texted me a couple weeks ago. She said, God led me to another church. I said, well, you quit being stupid. Come back like everybody else does. And here she is.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
I said that to embarrass you. Everybody in here been the same, buddy.
Yes, yeah.
I don't blame y'all. I don't want to put up with me no how. But here you are. And boy, it's so good. For that little girl right there.
Amen. Yeah,
that's called Holy Ghost stuff right there.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Stuff I can't do.
Right.
Stuff y'all can't do. What if you just stayed out there? Coming to church, but you was not right with God. What if you stayed there? Where would we be tonight? I'm just doing a little reflecting, okay?
Yeah.
Think about the people you've been a blessing to.
Right.
Preaching. They would have never received that blessing.
Yeah.
Old Seth would still be listening to rock and roll and drinking beer on the weekends.
Yeah.
Ashley would have probably got discouraged and settled for another piece of junk, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
Somewhere down the line, could have got drugged right back out. But y'all got about, what, a month and a half? 2 months? We're going to have our first church wedding.
Yeah.
Then back doors are going to open. Woman who nobody thought was even going to survive, going to walk through that back door in a white dress. And the Lord's going to be here. It ain't just going to be a say I do and everybody high five and throw bird seed in there. I'm talking about God's going to be here. We're going to meet with the Lord on that wedding day.